Oh, a good rainstorm would sound and feel so good right about now, but unfortunately, there isn't much of a chance of a good rain in our weather forecast. We are in a severe drought in southern Wisconsin, with moderate drought or abnormally dry conditions pushing from west to east central Wisconsin as well. Our lawns and gardens are parched. The corn crop in the southern part of the state is suffering. We will talk about the growing conditions on the farm and at home this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 17th. First, on the farm. Experts say much of southern Wisconsin's corn crop could be lost without significant rain soon. What does this mean for corn growers and consumers, for that matter? We will ask our guest expert on corn production and welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first guest is Joe Lauer, professor of agronomy at UW-Madison. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how bad is the corn crop in southern Wisconsin in particular?
Well, it's I thought by June 30th we needed some rain, and of course it's 16 or 17 days since that time. And the reason it's so much concern right now is we're entering a very critical stage in corn development called pollination, that is really the foundation for yield, late grain yield later on. A number of yield components are determined right at this time, and with the lack of rain, there's not going to be any pollination, so there's not going to be any kernels developing on those ears, and that will impact grain yield significantly down the road.
Will you give us a little science lesson here? What you need the rain for the pollination?
Well, rain is plants need rain, of course, and need water. And as far as the science lesson goes, a lot of the growth and development of corn is really driven by temperature. But corn likes to grow in basically the same kind of temperatures you and I enjoy, somewhere between about 50 and 86 degrees. Once it gets above 86 degrees, the plant starts to shut down, and over about 93 or 94 degrees Fahrenheit, the plant basically shuts its leaves down. And you can see this out in the field when those leaves start to roll up. And another thing that happens is the stomates that are in those leaves close, so photosynthesis can't go on. And this is usually indicated by the rolling of leaves, but it's brought on by high temperatures, as well as just lack of water. And we've had both. And I think up to this point, up till maybe last week, the high temperatures were hurting the corn more than anything else, because they couldn't produce food through photosynthesis to grow more roots and things like that. But now we're in the point where they really need the water as well, too, because they've gone through nearly 3 weeks of really lack of root growth to explore new parts of the soil, and the roots are just running out of water, and we need to have that for pollination. And that pollination, the water is important for those silks to come out of the ear. Basically, it takes a lot of water to extend those, elongate those cells so those silks come out. And then for the viability of the pollen that's on the tassel, as that falls down onto the silk, if that pollen isn't fairly well hydrated, it will die relatively quickly. So a lot of things going on right now in the cornfield that are causing a lot of stress, and that's causing a lot of problems.
So it's accurate to say that if we don't get rain, significant rain soon, southern Wisconsin's corn crop could be completely lost?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Corn is a little different than other crops, especially something like soybeans, which is the other major crop in the state. Corn has a very narrow window for pollination. It's about an 8-day window. And whereas soybeans will typically flower over 30 days. And if you look at where a flower forms on a soybean plant, one will form basically every day. And that node, or that flower, well, there'll be another flower behind it for about 30 days. Usually over 30 days, you get some rain sometime, somewhere along that time. enough to basically allow that flower to pollinate in a pod to grow at those at a node on the plant. With corn, that window is very, very much smaller. It's about an 8-day window. For about 9 to 10 days, the tassel comes out first, and it'll drop pollen for about 9 to 10 days. The silks usually come out about 2 days later, and they're viable for about 6 or 7 days. And that overlap between the pollen shed and the silk emergence is what we call the nick. When we have drought, typically the vegetative part of the plant, the tassel, grows faster and quicker and earlier, and the silks are delayed. So instead of an overlap of 7 or 8 days, now with these drought conditions, that overlaps only about 2 or 3 days, and that nick is quite a bit shorter. And again, this all adds up to just more and more issues with grain forming on that ear. And if you don't get grain forming, then the crop is basically lost.
I saw a story on Channel 3, our CBS affiliate in Madison last night, showing farmers chopping their corn already. And I didn't really understand that, but apparently they don't think that it's going to mature properly, and they're trying to salvage what they can.
Well, I think it's a little early to be cutting corn for silage. There is still, that corn isn't going to go anywhere. The yield that we've got out there, as well as the quality of that forage that we've got out there, is basically going to be what it's going to be for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So they're kind of jumping the gun in many ways in terms of chopping this corn, because if we would get a rain, we can still get some pollination on that ear, and any little bit of pollination can increase our dry matter yields. But the grain crop is pretty much lost. What we're really trying to get right now is the silage crop that can be gotten from corn for the dairies that are in this state. And that's really what we're trying to manage for now. And even if we get 50% pollination, only half of the 400 to 600 kernels that develop on an ear, even if we only get half of those, we can still increase our yield about 2 to 3 tons of dry matter per acre. And so to cut this corn silage early is a little bit premature. We may get rain. We don't know exactly what the pollination is going to be like, and we won't know that until really probably next week or around August 1st. And then at that time is really the time to make these decisions to cut corn.
Mm-hmm. What is the impact on farmers should conditions continue the way they are and the corn crop is lost? What does that mean for farmers that depend on corn?
Yeah, economically, it's huge. You're looking at between $500 and $600 an acre in input costs. Let's say a farmer's got 100 acres, that's 50,000, or many farmers now have 1,000 acres, so that's 500,000 acres of input costs that literally are gone. Many farmers have crop insurance. I think it's 76% of the farmers in Wisconsin have crop insurance, but that means a quarter of them don't. And those production costs will all be lost by the farmer. So it's going to be a significant economic impact. Corn is what pays the bills, really, on many farms, it pays the rent, so to speak. And when you lose that major income source, that's going to hurt anybody.
Yeah. In northern Wisconsin, there is a corn crop that's doing well?
Well, we've had more rain in northern Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the drought conditions are slowly but surely moving north. A few weeks ago, I said the bottom four tiers of counties were in a bad situation. Now that's been expanded, I see, by NOAA or the National with the Weather Service, and that's now moved north. But I think as you get up into the top four tiers of counties, I think they're in pretty good shape. But of course, there isn't a lot of corn up that way. There's some, and it's important for those growers up there, but not as much as the southern half of the state. But they've had some rain. In fact, the governor declared a flood disaster area in three of the counties in way northern Wisconsin. So they've had more rain than the southern part of the state.
Yeah, and this means, does this mean for consumers that our food prices can go up because of this?
Well, Well, I think that, again, is premature as well, too. I know the Grocery Manufacturers Association is starting to make those kinds of signals out there, but I think that's premature. Even in some of the worst droughts we've had, the production was only off about 25%, and that's more than enough for human food. There are some significant things that have changed since the last drought we had in 1988, significant drought we had in 1988, in that we now have ethanol as a major user of corn. But another thing that happened this year was that there were significantly more acres of corn planted this year. And so even though we might lose quite a few acres to the drought, there were more planted, and so the overall production may not be as affected as some of the early signals are. But if this drought continues and it continues to spread, more and more people will be affected. We really need some rain.
We do, and let's see what our weather forecast says. It says mostly sunny and hot today. A heat advisory for southern Wisconsin. There is a chance of rain in northern Wisconsin today. High temperatures around 80 in the north, 100 in the south. The heat advisory continues tonight for southern Wisconsin, partly cloudy. Does say that tonight there is a chance of rain in parts of southern Wisconsin. Looks like a 40% chance of rain. So that's better than nothing. Lows between the mid-50s and low 70s. And tomorrow, a chance of rain again in the south. Looks like there is a, I don't know exactly, 30 or 40% chance tomorrow. Somewhat milder, highs mainly in the 70s and 80s tomorrow. We are talking about the drought. We are talking about the hot, dry conditions that exist over the southern half of Wisconsin and what that is doing to Wisconsin's corn crop. Experts say that it could be lost entirely if significant rain does not fall soon. We're talking about the situation facing many farmers and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I know we have dairy farmers who listen at this time in the morning. How's your crop, and are you doing okay? What measures are you taking? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 21 minutes now past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 17th. Coming up after the news, after 6:30, we'll talk about how you can care for your lawn and your garden during this drought. Talk about the difference between dormant and dead, and how much water you should be giving your trees and other flowers. That's coming up after 6:30. Right now we are talking about how this drought is affecting the corn crop in Wisconsin and what that means for farmers and consumers. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your situation. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Joe Lauer, a professor of agronomy at UW-Madison. He's an expert on corn production. And Professor Lauer, what about sweet corn? Is that a different situation than the corn crop that dairy farmers depend on?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. There are quite a few sweet corn fields that are not irrigated, and of course they're going under the same kind of environment and situation that the field corn is, and that will impact the yield of those dry land sweet corn fields. But a lot of sweet corn, especially the fresh market sweet corn fields, are irrigated, and so there will still be sweet corn in the stores, probably. Much of the dry land sweet corn or field corn or sweet corn is used in canning processes and things like that. So I would expect there's still to be quite a bit of fresh market corn available because it is an irrigated crop typically.
I see, yeah. I picked up my first couple of years of locally grown sweet corn at the farmer's market on Saturday. That's the first I saw it out there. And it seemed maybe a little small, but didn't he had a nice table full of sweet corn there.
Well, go ahead. The stress is basically affecting all growth. I don't know if you've been in your gardens or anything, but plants are really, with all this heat, are just sitting there. Well, like I say, once you get over 94 degrees Fahrenheit, corn just basically, and many crops just basically shut down their stomates and can try to conserve water, and this heat is just even affecting irrigated crops to some extent.
We'll talk more about our plants and lawns and gardens coming up after 6:30. But I have noticed, that a lot of my plants are not doing a whole lot, and I'm trying to water them too. What about why can't field corn be irrigated?
Well, a lot of field corn is irrigated. If you go in the southern part of the state, there is some acres irrigated. A lot of seed corn fields are irrigated. The Central Sands area of Wisconsin is irrigated. As you move west in the U.S. To Nebraska and Colorado and Kansas and Wyoming, there's quite a few acres over there that are irrigated field corn as well, too. It's usually in Wisconsin we've got more than enough rain to produce corn, and so we often, in most years, don't need it. This year is this generation's year for managing through this drought, and it seems like every generation's got to do that. And the last time we really had to significantly do it was 1988.
Let's go to Bill in Waupun. Hello, Bill.
Hi there. I work for a corn processing plant in Mayville, Wisconsin. I'm a supervisor on the front end. And one of the points I'd like to bring up, I happen to have a day off today. We had a terrible pea crop. And we ran split shifts for many of our seasonal workers. We have seasonal people that come up from Mexico, and we also have a lot of part-time people that live in the local area that work for us. So a lot of those people have been shortchanged on their income, naturally. Then we've got truckers that are the suppliers that bring in the corn. A lot of these people are seasonals. A lot of them are retired people. And they count on a little bit of income in the wintertime or in the summertime for bringing corn in. And then another point I'd like to bring up is we put in almost $500,000 worth of new equipment into our plant this year. And you invest that kind of money into a plant that to try to improve the throughput, and then you have these down years. It makes it real tough.
Wow. Yeah. That's
for the economy of the business. For the economy, the people, it's more widespread than just the farmers themselves, and I don't know that many people realize that there's an awful lot of people that are involved in the actual processing of our sweet corn in this part of the country.
Yeah, and there's a big ripple effect with the economy, Professor Lauer.
Yeah, Bill brings up a good point. You know, 20 to 25% of the workforce is really related to agriculture, and when one of these, when a drought happens like this, it affects all aspects of this, and much it goes beyond the farm and the farm gate, and these other businesses need to survive based on the production of the farmers, and so there's a lot of kind of recycling of the money, if you will, in a community, and many farm communities are going to feel this drought.
Yeah. Gary on Facebook says, not much a person can do except wait it out and understand it's only temporary. Is there anything that farming communities, farmers can do?
Well, there really isn't. Everyone needs to do their rain dance. Ideally, what we'd like to see is an inch of rain a week. That'd be the best thing to pray for right now. But as far as what we can do, really the most important thing is just to wait through this pollination. Then we need to make decisions through this pollination period. Then we make decisions around August 1st. And I'm guessing that a lot of these acres will either be sold as silage to dairy farmers or probably plowed back down into the ground and used as fertilizer for next year.
Mm. So those farmers who started chopping their corn should think twice about that.
Well, they may look they may have made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a chance of some rain, and as long as there's that chance, I think we need to take advantage of that chance and make these decisions once that pollination period's passed. They may have gone through their pollination period and decided that it was time to chop. And really, once pollination's passed, corn can be harvested at any time for silage.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that with the exception of Missouri, southern Wisconsin's corn crop is in the worst shape of all Midwestern states.
Yeah, it's one of the worst areas. It kind of stops at the Mississippi River. Missouri's in bad shape, but then as you go across Illinois, there are bands where even on the same farm, you can have one field on one side of the farm having enough, or you know, have had some rain showers, and then the southern another part of the farm might have really no rain that's fallen at all. And these bands kind of extend through Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and a little bit into Michigan as well too. But I think the hardest hit area really is southern Wisconsin, but it's expanding really daily. As long as this lack of rainfall continues, there's going to be more and more areas more seriously affected.
Well, fingers crossed. I'll do the rain dance with you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Joe Lauer, professor of agronomy at UW-Madison, an expert on corn production. Stay with us. We will continue talking about what the hot, dry conditions are doing to our lawns and our gardens and our trees and what we can do about that. Some communities do have watering restrictions, but is there something we can do to make sure that we keep those plants that we want to keep? That's coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.